is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Dende sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. Taking your phone calls, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Why do you think Terry McLaurin showed up to camp on Sunday? He ended his holdout. He is now going to hold in. He's no longer getting fined. Was it a coincidence that he just happened to not want to get fined the first day that fans were in attendance? I will say, personally, I woke up to the news that Terry was going to hold in, and I was thrilled. I loved to hear that, because it, at the very least, is some sort of progress, right? But then we were told, well, they're still a little far apart on a deal. They're not as close as many of us as fans would like them to be. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Max, what were your thoughts when you saw that Terry was going to hold in?
I was initially very excited because we had this conversation a couple weeks ago before I left for vacation. It was, would you rather Terry hold out, Terry hold in, or, you know, how do you want this to kind of go if it continues down the path it has? And hold in is easily the route you would want him to take, just because he's among everybody. He's around, he's in meetings, he can, you know, talk to Adam, talk to Dan, and do all the things that he needs to do. But I definitely think you're right. There's no coincidence that he decided to show up on the first day of fans showing up. But at the same time, Keim, I was listening to him last night before I went to bed, and he said that both sides seem to be pretty dug in on you know, where they stand. And Terry said at the Eastern Motors presser, it's, you know, about how he values himself and all that. So using context clues, like I would imagine that the number, or like the guarantee per year, is probably the hold up here. But if you don't see any like real resolution coming to, you know, this in the short term, you might as well avoid the 50K a day fines, show up on the day that fans show up, and ingratiate yourself as you know, have the past, your entire career here. So I completely understand why Terry did it, and it makes all the sense in the world. But I'm not sure this is going to get done as quickly as we want it to.
Do you agree with my sentiment that August 8th, which is the team's first preseason game, it's a little less than 2 weeks away from today that this will be done?
I would hope.
Because, like, that feels like...
That's a Friday?
It's a Friday, yeah. Friday preseason game. This team plays Friday preseason games, a Monday preseason game, and I think then a Saturday preseason game.
What?
I mean, it's all over the place.
That's weird.
It also makes it very difficult to... You're not going to put starters out there back-to-back games with 5 days rest in
Absolutely
a preseason.
Not.
It's just not going to happen. So that schedule is stupid. But it just feels like, you know, August 8th is far away, in that it's literally, you know, almost... What is it? It's July 28th, so it's about 10 days or so,
yep,
give or take, 10, 11 days. But in camp, man, like, these days speed up really, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by tomorrow, we're going to have other storylines. I mean, even today, we've had some other storylines from the first padded practice that we're going to be paying attention to. By the time we get to tomorrow, we're going to have storylines from that padded practice that we're going to be paying attention to. So there's going to be other things that come up in just the general news cycle of this team, to where you're going to still worry about Terry McLaurin, but you're going to be focusing on other things, and it'll kind of become out of sight, out of mind, unless he continually does what he did on Sunday, which is just make appearances and get in front of cameras and talk to members of the media. I don't have to go into grave detail on his situation and what makes it very, very unique. We've heard this all before. He's going for contract number 3 in the NFL, which is a very rare thing that most players do not get the ability to say that they have. But on top of that, his scenario is so unique because the first 7 years of his career, the quarterback situation was awful. You wouldn't wish it on, well, maybe you would wish it on your division rivals, but outside of that, you wouldn't wish it on anybody else. Like, you're just constantly having a line of guys that you don't think are very good to play quarterback, and then they are the ones that are playing quarterback to him. So the added impact of Jaden Daniels coming into the fray and then watching those two guys perform as well as they did, that adds another element to this contract negotiation that is very, very unique. And I like the fact that this Buddy Baker guy is hanging around camp, but it is impossible to miss that he has not been, as an agent, the lead in negotiations with anything even remotely close to this situation that Terry is dealing with, just from a third contract standpoint, not even factoring in the stuff that I just mentioned about he had played with a bunch of bad quarterbacks and now he's playing with a really good quarterback. And how do you kind of balance that in the negotiations by saying, yes, he's getting close to 30, but look what he did with a quarterback. Look what he did in that playoff game against Detroit, where if you're thinking his athleticism is going to slip, didn't slip on that screen pass that he took to the house. Look at the play that he made against Philadelphia in the championship game. It was one of the only good plays that Washington's offense made in that championship game. Athleticism looked really good as he's running away from Philadelphia defenders that are supposed to be young and spry. So how do you make these arguments and then doing it with an agent that has not been in these positions before? Look, it's going to be difficult if this is your first time negotiating something like that. In 4 or 5 years, Buddy Baker might be like the next Drew Rosenhaus. I have no idea. But in this particular scenario, you're like, ugh, like this is going to be a little difficult. How is this going to be navigated? Because I can promise you this, Adam Peters doesn't seem like a guy that's going to get walked all over. That doesn't seem to be the way that he operates. He comes from organizations where the general manager is not one to get walked all over. I'm simultaneously Team Terry McLaurin, because I believe that NFL players should take advantage of every opportunity that they have to get money. This is a very finite industry. If you can even get to the age of 30 in the NFL, that's a win. But if you can get it even further, you got to take advantage as much as you can and get the money. But I'm also in the camp of Team Adam Peters, because his job is to make a winner in D.C., a perennial winner in D.C., something we have not had in years and years, decades and decades. Last season was awesome. How can we make sure that this season is equally as awesome? And I saw a question that I believe it was Kevin who posed this topic last week. Washington is capable of winning without Terry McLaurin, but for this particular year, I believe you need Terry McLaurin to reach the heights that you did last year. In the grand scheme of things, as long as five is upright and healthy, you are going to put yourself in a position to win every single year. But based off of the current roster construction, it feels like you absolutely need Terry McLaurin in the year of our Lord 2025 to have any sort of realistic shot at winning football games. What say you? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Were you happy to see Terry McLaurin, even though a contract extension does not feel imminent? Let's go to Greg in Gaithersburg. Greg, you're on the Team 980.
Hey, good morning, guys. Before I tell you what I thought, I got a quick question. This $50,000 a day fine, is this an NFL-opposed fine or a Washington fine?
It's kind of both. In the new CBA, they can't waive it. So he is going to have to pay the fines.
Okay. Well, maybe they can. Maybe I think it's very positive that he's there. And I think the fact that his agent is there, as you know, green as he is, and I think it's going to really boost the morale of a lot of the players seeing him there, whether he's, you know, working out or not. And I'm sure that with the ownership group, that they have a way that if they want to work into the deal with him, that, okay, well, you missed so much time, we'll work out something that you can get part of it back or something. But I think it's all positive. I mean, it's a lot more positive than him not being there at all.
Greg, I agree with you that it is positive. I agree with you that the team is going to find some way, shape, or form to get around the fines. Like, I know you can't waive it in the CBA, but there's going to be...
They'll give him a little extra $200,000, just not to, you know, we're not waiving the fine, but here's the money to pay
but
us.
But here's, you know, something, right? Like, I think they will do something to kind of offset that particular fine.
I'd be shocked if he wasn't signed by the end of the week.
Yeah, I think I would be too. So, Greg, I appreciate the call. Now, what you did say, you mentioned Buddy Baker and him just standing there because he's been there for 2 days.
Menacingly.
He's been there every day that Terry's been there. I don't believe he has talked to a ton of media. He's there, but if you've never been to a camp, the setup, at least when fans are there, it's a little bit different when there are no fans there, but it's still in a position to where Buddy Baker can very easily stand in a position where he does not have to talk to any media. You are standing, if there are fans there, you're kind of standing in between fields because all of the media line up on the field that is on the near side to the fans. If there are no fans there, what they do when the team starts getting into like real 11-on-11s is that they make all the media go up and stand on a hill. And then you can just kind of, you know, stand in between there. We can't, as media members, go down that hill until guys are walking off the field, and that's usually where we grab interviews. So if you saw any of my interviews that I did on Twitter, which if you're not following me, you can, at the Denton Day, that was on that on the slope of the hill as the players are walking off of the field. We kind of go, grab them, so on and so forth. It's very easy if you are the agent to avoid talking to any media members, because I know we got a bunch of people that want to ask him questions. I want to ask him questions, right? I just want to see what is the holdup between the two sides in getting this deal done. Because in watching some of the drills, the first 2 days of training camp, when there were no pads and you're just kind of wading your way in to installing some things, you're not doing anything particularly complex, but for the people that are new, it's kind of a continuation of mandatory mini camps where you're getting familiar with any of the route combinations, any of the language that is going to be used. The first 2 days, guys are looking really, really good. That third day, where they really spent a lot of time on 11-on-11 drills, there's a very big gap when there's no Terry McLaurin. Like, Chris Moore is a guy that I thought has looked pretty good in the days that I've been out there. It's a different beast when you're good doing almost exclusively 11-on-11s. And it's very, very difficult to get separation the way that Terry does. It's very difficult to make contested catches the way that Terry does. Jalen Lane made a hell of a catch on Sunday. That thing went viral. It was a hell of a catch.
Was it a catch?
Right, Mikey Sanders still doesn't believe it was a catch. Mikey did not believe it was a catch.
And watching the replay, I might be on his side.
Yeah, he definitely landed out of bounds. But because it's preseason, or because it's training camp, I think we can factor in that that was really cool, so we're going to have it count.
I mean, there's always that exception, I feel like.
It doesn't happen in the regular season, but in the preseason and training camp, I feel like you can make that rule.
You can make the argument that it should, though.
I would agree with that. But Jalen Lane has looked really, really good in camp, but he's also never played in the NFL before. So when you start to run up against the defensive backfield, which, by the way, defensive backfield for the Commanders looks like it is looking very, very good. Not going to fall too much into it yet because it is just early. We haven't even done a week of training camp, but the defensive backfield has looked really, really good.
So we're not going to declare the Legion of Boom back yet?
Not yet. Could we get there? I mean, look, Dan Quinn was the architect of the Legion of Boom. I can see some moves that they are making to try and at least recreate some of the Legion of Boom. But that defensive backfield looks really, really good. And then when you start to go up against them without Terry McLaurin, it's Deebo Samuel and a bunch of other guys. You know, everybody's fallen in love with Ja'Cory Brooks. I liked Ja'Cory Brooks. Talked to Ja'Cory Brooks. I think he's a really good kid. I think he played really well at Louisville last year. But he was also undrafted for a reason. There's a lot of work to be done there before you can just say, well, get Terry out of here, we're going to replace him with him. Same goes for Jalen Lane. We're not going to just get Terry out of here. You really see the difference when you start to focus on actually implementing and installing offense and you don't have 17 there. So I do think that is something that the coaching staff in the front office is taking into consideration, but that gets back to this key point of this whole thing is we know they're far apart, but we do not know what is causing them to be far apart and how far is. Because that term is very, very relative. If you're not going to tell us what the discrepancy is between the two, it's going to be very, very difficult for us to then speculate on what it is, because we've seen all of these numbers get thrown around to a point like a month and a half ago, someone said $36 million. And you're like, no, he's not getting $36 million. That's not going to happen. That number has come down drastically, but we're still kind of in this position of waiting to see what that number is going to be. It is just very clear, though, that you have to pay him. You have to pay him and get him ready. It is idiotic from a long-term perspective. You're too late in this situation to trade. The value for Terry is so far gone. He clearly does not want to trade either, because at this point, you're in the holdout to where you either pay me or you trade me. He has not asked for a trade, at least publicly, and considering that they have taken a lot of steps to make some things public, him returning, Eastern Motors, talking to certain media members that you understand are going to make. Like, we've been hearing about these frustrations since May when Jordan Schultz tweeted about it. Not a coincidence. We give this information to him. He tweets about this information, right? They've tried to make some things public, but at no point have they asked for a trade, which leads me to believe that that is something that Washington has as an advantage. We know that you want to be here. You have started a life here. You said so much in the Eastern Motors press conference. You and your wife just got married. You just bought a house here. You're doing yoga in parts of Ashburn that are very nice. By the way, special piece of lore about Denton Day. I got my hair bleached right next to where Terry McLaurin was doing yoga. Does that mean anything to anybody outside of me? Probably not. But it is just a fun fact. I don't have hair anymore, so I like to dream of the days where I did have hair.
Nice to reminisce.
It's nice to reminisce. I wish it was still in my actual day-to-day life. Anyway, they have that, they being Washington, have that as a little bit of an advantage, knowing that you have not asked for a trade, which means you don't actually want to leave here, because you could ask for a trade. I don't think it would work. Brandon Ayuk asked for a trade, and then San Francisco gave him money, and he was fine. Miles Garrett asked for a trade. Cleveland gave him money. It was fine. You could ask for a trade as sort of a bit of leverage, but he's not willing to do that. It would be very odd and kind of blow up, honestly, it would blow up in the face of what we, from our perspective on the outside, know about Terry McLaurin, what everyone has told us about Terry McLaurin. If he came out Sunday and Monday to do a bunch of signings, to kind of hype the fans up, to do everything that he did this weekend, and then immediately turned around and said, trade me, it would look a little hypocritical, and you'd start to scratch your head a little bit. So I don't think that he wants to go anywhere, and that's the reason he hasn't asked for a trade, but that also gives Washington leverage in these discussions. If you want to weigh in on the Terry McLaurin extension, do you think it gets done this week? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We will talk a little bit about what was seen the first day at padded practice as well. It is the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980.
All right, we're back in the saddle. Here's what's trending on this Monday, July 28th. Happy first day of pads to all who celebrate. Terry McLaurin has shown up to camp. He showed up yesterday and was placed on the PUP list with an ankle injury. Terry and his agent Buddy Baker are both at camp as both sides work to continue to work towards an extension to keep him in Washington past 2025. Santana Moss will be inducted into the Commanders Ring of Fame. The ceremony will take place pregame September 7th against the Giants to open the season. The Mystics, they fall to the Phoenix Mercury 88-72. Shakira Austin led the team in scoring with 20 points on 8 of 18 shooting. The Nats, they take down the Minnesota Twins by a score of 7-2. Jake Irvin is credited with the win, giving up only 2 earned runs and 5 hits. C.J. Abrams kicked off the scoring in the first inning with a bomb to right center field. They will take on the Astros tonight. First pitch is at 8:10. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 7:40. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1, and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the streams and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.